morning to everybody. Just in case you see someone running in front, that's Ming Luan, and her role is to cue when do I start speaking, okay? Because we cater both for on-site and also online. And so I want you to know that everything was worked out so that the online people get almost the same experience that you get while you are on-site. Not to discourage you from coming on-site, obviously, but it is really trying to provide the best to everyone that is watching us and allowing the Word of God to worship everything, to be able to minister and to encourage every one of you, all right? So would you give a hand to Jason and also Samantha for always being such a great host? You know, I love the way, you know, Jason always lead in whether it's preaching or whatever. You know, there's such a gifting that God has upon this man. And Sam is not the most natural person, J&J, all right? Okay, that's where she work at. Well, we are in this series called Unstoppable, and today we're going to be the last stop for Unstoppable for episode one. So Unstoppable, it is really about making discipleship then and now. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to dig into the book of Acts and one thing to glean from them, what it means to make disciples. So I want you to know that making disciples doesn't work out from an empty vacuum, doesn't work out from someone who lives in a jungle. Well, making disciples is everyday life. So in the book of Acts, it's full of that. It's full of resistance, full of challenges, full of internal conflict, full of corruption. That's what the story was about, hypocrisy. Ananias and Sapphira, last weekend, Jason did an outstanding job just to bring that about. And if every one of them, we are trying to look at each week what it means to us today, how can we be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And hopefully every one of us are geared towards to make disciples. So Unstoppable was really a series about the book of Acts. And the book of Acts has six conclusions. Every time when the gospel began to grow and then there was a conclusion statement. So what we are trying to work at is to look through all the six different conclusions. The first conclusion was actually ends at Acts chapter 6 verse 7. So today is about prison break 1. Altogether, there are 3 prison break in the book of Acts. And then we're going to kind of walk through that. But today we're going to focus on Acts chapter 5 verse 17 to Acts chapter 6 verse 7. That's the passage that we're going to work on. All right, so Unstoppable is about making disciples then and now. Now, the Bible says, and the Word of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back Not go back. We're going to go to the conclusion of Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Because all the way Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 6 verse 6 tell you the story. And Acts chapter 6 verse 7, it has this conclusion. The conclusion that the Bible gave is, then the word of God spread. Would you read together? All right, one to go. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. You know, I like this verse. In fact, later I will have a personal reflection on this verse as we come to the end of the service. But I like this verse. You know, every time when you talk about just the things of God that are at work in our life, it's never one dimension. It's never about how many scriptures am I able to memorize. It's about translating that as the word of God spread, you are able to make disciples and people are growing in obedience to their faith. People begin to live their life pure. People begin to make certain decisions and learn how to forgive each other. You know, it's all that because that's the changes that happens in a disciple's life. So that's the conclusion, Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. I like the way it says the word of God spread means that the word of God flourished. The word of God just grew tremendously. The Greek word actually means like a little flourishing and keep on growing, keep on increasing. And then he says the number of disciples multiply greatly. Or NIV version say it grow rapidly. And I thought about just the growth of disciples. We have seen disciple grow, but we've never seen a rapid growth. And that has always been part of our desire. You know, even as I read the book of Acts, I was moved and stirred. And it talks about in Jerusalem, because Acts chapter 1, all the way to Acts chapter 6 are all stories that happened in Jerusalem. In fact, the last statement said, great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. If you recall the story, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, is when the story of a lame priest prison at Beautiful Gate, 40 over years old. Since birth, he was raised and he was able to leap and run. And the Bible says it caused such a stir that so many of the people came to know God. So when the Bible made conclusion about Acts 1 all the way to Acts chapter 6, obviously, he highlighted a lot of the priests that were being saved. In fact, some scholars actually believe through some historical writing that because of the many priests who came obedient to the faith, they were retrenched, which is why the Bible in Acts talk about they had many things in common just to support the livelihood of the priests who were retrenched because they were no longer following Judaism and all that little stories. But all this is the conclusion of Acts chapter 6 verse 7, starting from Acts 1 all the way to Acts chapter 6. So very quickly, let me just walk you through. Acts 1 and 2, we talk about a paradigm shift. We talk about from Jesus saved all the way to Jesus sent. You know, it's a very two different way of thinking. Jesus saved is, God, I pray for everything in my life. Save me, save my dog, save my house, save my plumbing, save my car, save my bicycle. You know, there's a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong about that. But somewhere in our journey of our walk with God, we must believe that God not only wants to save us, but He wants to send us. You know, I pray Jesus save prayer all the time, which really reminds me. There was one particular moment. I was traveling to China to actually minister the word. So I was kind of Jesus sent moment, okay? So the cab driver that came and picked me up was a new cab driver. So I was supposed to get one of our church people, but he couldn't make it. He asked one of his friends, come. And it was a new cab driver. He came, and when he picked me up, first of all, he was late. Secondly, when he picked me up, as he drove towards the airport, I noticed that the fuel, you know, is very low. So I said, can we make it? He then looked at me and said, what do you think? Can we make it? I was thinking, you know, he should be the one expert, not me, okay? So as he drive, and then he began to, started to have this, you know, cold sweat. He says, Pastor, he says, actually, I don't know, can we make it? You know, on the way to the airport, there's actually a petrol station, you know, Pastor, pray that we can make it to the petrol station, okay? So, long story short, because you already called me a pastor, right? So I must be full of kindness, long-suffering, patient, okay? But I'm looking at the clock, you know, I'm really rushing against time, you know. And so as he drove, he then drove only at 60 or, you know, 70. He cannot go beyond that. Just, I tell you what, I pray like crazy, seriously. The car, just as it comes down, you know, I still remember going to the Shell station at Dunkel there. The car started to jerk already. You know, seriously, jerk. We just made it enough to the petrol station up there, push it, pump the petrol, and then rush it to the airport. And I was the last person. The gate was about to close, and I make it, right? Now, I tell you what, throughout the entire journey, I pray Jesus save all the time. Pray Jesus save the car, save the petrol, save the fuel, save the time, save everything in order for Jesus send to happen. So I want you to know, Jesus save, Jesus send is all embedded. Now, obviously, what I did was I invited him to church, but he never dared to come, okay? Acts 3 and 4 talk about the first miracle. We talk about that. Then the response of the enemy was the first persecution. And then the first response of the believer, when they were persecuted, the Bible says they prayed for boldness. What an incredible passage is that. And then Acts 5, which is last week, you got the first lie or first hypocrisy act, first internal sin, which reminds me the book of Proverbs. Chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says six things that God hates and seven things is an abomination to Him. A haughty eye, a lying tongue. One of the things, that's why God betahan when He saw Ananias and Sapphira and what they were doing and hands that shed innocent blood, that wasn't them. But the next verse says a heart that devises wicked plan. I cannot say that that was exactly wicked plan, but it's a heart that devises that, you know, we are going to sell everything and then keep some money, but we tell everybody we sell everything and give it unto God. Right? And then the Bible says the feet that make haste. And then he says a false witness who breathed out lies. So I want you to know that God was very particular. It was the infancy of the church. God wanted the people to know that God does not tolerate sin. Now, I know we live in a day where there is the grace of God, but I want you to know the grace of God leads us to repentance. So as we kind of know and the things that we struggle, learn how to run towards God. All right, now, so today, we're going to look at first prison break, which is Acts 5, 17 to 6 and verse 7. Okay, all together, three prison break. It was interesting. The first prison break was the apostle. Don't know, the Bible never say their names. The second prison break was really the story of Peter. And the third prison break, Acts 12, and then the third, Acts 16, which is Paul and Silas. They were singing in prison. And I'm not too sure, was the song they're singing caused the door to open, or was God, but maybe both. And then the last imprisonment of Paul, there was no longer prison break. In fact, he was in prison, preached the gospel in Rome, and eventually he was ushered in AD 60 to 62, somewhere around that, right? He was ushered and he was beheaded. Now, I tell you a little bit about who God is. Not everybody will be healed. Not everybody will have a prison door open. And for some, it was destined all the way to carry that cross until that point. So I want you to know there's a sovereignty of God that potentially we don't quite understand. But in its story itself, prison break, you will find that there were two issues that they were wrestling, all right? So first of all, there was increased persecution. We're going to read about that shortly. And then there was internal conflict. So all this while, in the infancy of the church, you find that the external persecution is always there. But that could not stop them from sharing the gospel. Then you got the internal struggle, the hypocrisy, the corruption that had it in Ananias, and God immediately dealt with that. Today, you are going to look at two external persecution and an internal strife or conflict or dissent that actually happened that threatened the unity of the church. All right, let me first of all go through the external persecution. Acts 5:17, but the high priest rose up and all were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, filled with jealousy. So this time, they were filled with jealousy. Now, so by this time, Acts 1 to Acts 6 is anywhere 1 to 3 years in Jerusalem. Some scholars even believe that it's all within a year. Some will spread it over 2 years. So there were different things, nobody exactly know. But somewhere along that journey, so the gospel has been growing, right? So the priest rose up with him, filled with jealousy, because now people are listening and following the disciple of Jesus Christ. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the word of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and they began to teach. So can you imagine this? It's quite a funny story. They were put in prison. Angels came, opened the door. They came out and said, "Continue to preach." So daylight, they stood at the temple and they begin to preach. The story continued to tell you that the Pharisees woke up in the morning and wanted to meet up with the apostles, asked the guard to go to the prison and get them. But when they went to the prison door, they found that the prison guard were there and it was locked. That's what the Bible says, which means that the angel had the courtesy to open and lock it again. It's a very polite angel, okay? And then the Bible, the guard came back and says, they were no longer in the prison. And then some other guard ran in and said, they were all outside preaching the temple now. That was exactly the story, all right? Now, we skip a couple of verses. Let me go to verse 27. When they had brought them, then they bring them in. They sat before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name." Now, when did that happen? Acts chapter 3 and 4. Remember, they preached the gospel, a lame person healed, everybody gathered, Peter preached his second sermon, people all got saved. So he says, "We charge you, we warn you, no longer do that. Yet here you have," come on, read together, "you have what? Filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Wow, you know, I dream of a day that we fill Puchong and beyond with the teaching of Christ. Really. Every place, and people talk about, "Oh, you know, do you know about that church? Oh, do you know about the gospel? Do you know?" Because they have filled the entire Jerusalem with the teaching. And you intend to bring this man blood upon us that goes all the way when Jesus was on trial. The Pontius Pilate washed his hand and says, it's called the blood curse, which means that the blood is not my issue, it's really your issue, right? And when he tell the people, who would you want to release? And then they want Barabbas and not Jesus Christ, okay? So it kind of go back to that story, okay? But no time, we just move on. And apostle answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree." And then the Bible says, "God exalted him at his right hand as a leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of this thing, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." You know, I love the correspondence between the apostles and also the religious people. And this are what they say. They say, "We rather obey God than man." And they said, we are witnesses of these things. I said, we can't but to tell. You know, I pray that as we grow in our faith, that you become witnesses that are bold enough to be able to look at things and be able to say that, you know, this is not right. Or you're able to look at things and say, it is of God. And we become bold witnesses for God. All right? Now, that really captures and finishes the story of chapter 5. We move on to chapter 6, where there were internal conflict. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing a number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now, there were two kinds of Jews. If you know the history of the Jewish country or the nation of Israel, there was what we call the diaspora. Diaspora was during the Assyrian, many years ago when they were being attacked. A lot of the Jews went all over different parts of the world. And different parts of the world, they grew up with the Greek culture, so they were called the Hellenist Jews, which means that they were somewhat Jewish, but they speak in the Greek language. Then you got the Aramea or the Jewish Jews, which speak Hebrews and also Aramea, because that was the day languages. And so one particular culture grew up in a Hebrew culture in Israel. The other one grew up in a Hebrew setting, but in a Greek culture. Are you with me? So they were kind of a little bit thinking, just like you got American-born Chinese, you know, ABC here, and you know what I'm saying? You all that. So when they sort of come together, the culture is very different. Right now, they begin to complain. They say that you only take care of the Hebrew Jews and we were neglected. All right? Which for the first time, it can cause really disunity. So if you read the Bible carefully, all this while, it has been just fantastic with unity. Okay? And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, which means that by then, they would have tens of thousands, because the first time Peter preached 3,000, second time 5,000, there was so, summoned all the disciples. He says, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables, just helping all the pastors and leaders to know the priority. Not that serving the table is not important, but serving the word of God, which is what, you know, my important task that I needed to do. And then he says, therefore, brothers, speak up from among you. Everybody say among you. Among you, 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, whom we'll appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I will come back to the among you concept. You know, I want to say this, okay? Oftentimes people tell me, Pastor, if you're looking for a pastor, why don't you just hire, just go hire. You know, I want you to know that I believe in among us. I believe in among us, which means that If we needed someone to step up for a certain thing, we are looking at every one of you. We are looking at people that were among us. We needed a teens leader. We'll look at some of you. Because it is about among us. It's where the power of people stepping up and be able to serve God and dream together. Okay, let me move on. And then the Bible says, what they said, please the whole gathering, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, all these 7 names are of Greek background, because they were Greek names. What's interesting was Acts chapter 6 will come in our episode 2. It's a story of Stephen, who eventually became the first martyr. And Philip will pick up his story after the story of Stephen was the one that took the gospel to Samaria and eventually brought the entire revival in Samaria. So they were all just faithful men. You know, though they were doing something that's extremely administrative, but the Bible says they were full of wisdom, full of Holy Spirit, and full of faith. I want you to know that no matter what you do in this church, whether you're a cameraman, whatever, full of wisdom, full of faith, and full of Holy Spirit, and because it is in that, as we serve a God that's spiritual, and I think the requirement for us is to be always connected to God in that capacity, all right? And then the Bible says that before the apostles, they prayed, lay hand on them, the word of God continued to increase and spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly, and it just go on, and many great disciples became obedient to the faith. That's the little conclusion. All right, now, for the last 10 minutes, okay, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want to do, okay? I kind of wanted to wrestle with Acts chapter 6, verse 7 in my heart. I read that verse. The verse said the word of God continued to me. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to where we are? You know, over the pandemic, I know that the people who watch us increased quite a fair bit, honestly. Almost on a weekly basis, I get to receive a text from someone. I got to meet someone who said, you know, Pastor, we've been kind of watching, you know, what you guys do, and we really like it. And in fact, last week I had Lawrence, who is a lecturer in College, who stumbled over our services, came for discovering God, accepted Christ, and you know, so I consistently had all that. So I asked myself, the Word of God in Greek, how can we make this verse, the disciple multiplied greatly in Klang Valley, how can we do, or beyond, all right? And great many of the priests became obedient to the faith, all right? Now, so as I wrestled with my heart, I just want to share with you a couple of thoughts, all right? First of all, we want to do a Chinese service in this auditorium starting from April, which is next week, okay? You know, and I'm going to work with the Chinese team way closer, and we are going to make a bit of a structural change so that we can serve a greater, many Chinese-speaking community, okay? Our Chinese church has always hovered around 100 plus, you know, and I really believe that God really wants to give us favor to build. Now, how do I come to that? Just over the pandemic, I met so many people who kept on telling me, Pastor, you know, if we were to do a, you know, there's so much needs in the Chinese speaking community. And it was one of the conversations I had with actually one of our businessmen who said this to me. He says, Pastor, you know, he says, I've been to different churches, and I find that when I come to every nation, just the way you pastor, okay, if I can say that humbly, just the way, not me, just the entire team that just serve and relate and make disciples and bring the importance of who God is and the desire to always do outreach. So yesterday morning, on Saturday, I did my second time discovering God in Mandarin, Tan Suo Sen. I'm so happy that I'm able to finish. I'm so happy that none of them quit. They can understand my Mandarin. Wow. 我的华语是比 Jason 稍微好。Okay, anyway, okay. 他讲说生日快乐那个 you know 下个礼拜是那个中文生日。Okay, 中文堂, okay. Just now he was just kind of right. So, and this is why exactly. And this businessman says, "Is this pastor? You know, we should build hundreds of every nation churches all over Malaysia. And in fact, he's one of those that says that, you know, every year, Pastor, I will fund the building of another opening up of another church." I thought about many different conversations. And I thought about when I first went to China many years ago. It was Pastor Steve. I was in Manila. He came to me. He says that, you know, Tim, would you go to China with me? And I said, how are we going to work through the passport? He says, don't worry. We'll go to the embassy. They work that out. I flew to China first time. Arrived midnight. Two cars pick us up. Drove about 2 hours in the dark, went to a remote place. The moment we arrived, we have to surrender all our handphone. And because it was the meeting of the five biggest movement in China and all their leaders. And the next morning, there was about 100 of them. And there was just so many different checkpoints to be able to get to that spot because of the persecution. Okay, so I see no one at all until that morning. And for the first time, I get to preach in Mandarin. And I want you to know that all of a sudden, the emotion of the amount of Chinese word that I need to use, the wen yin wen, the, you know, the yue fei, you know, the whatever, okay, all the word that I've ever learned and all the wuxia xiaosuo that I read, you know, everything, all came back, and I was moved, and I just cried, and I just wept. I finally linked the dot. Why I study so much Mandarin is so that I'm able to preach the gospel more than ordering chicken rice. I came back home, I called my father, and I thanked my father on the phone with tears. I said, thank you, Dad, for forcing me to learn Mandarin. When I kind of pieced the entire thing, I decided we are going to rebrand and redo our Chinese service and to reach the greater Chinese-speaking community. Can I go to amen? So I'm looking at all of you. I'm looking at some of you, you sure have Chinese friend, or at least Chinese that loves to eat Chinese food, okay? Consider Chinese friend, okay? And you are able to invite them, and for some of you who speak Mandarin, join us for our Chinese service. Now, the second one is even a larger dream. I call it the microsite project, okay? But don't worry, okay? Actually, forget about the word microsite. It sounded like parasite, one of the family, okay? But no, okay? Microsite, all right? So this is what has been happening. We actually, outside of Kuala Lumpur, this is actually a watch. This is actually a Kuching together. So this group of people, they were all young adults that now they're in Kuching. So every weekend, they will watch our service together. So we just felt like with the pandemic prolonged, and I mean there's going to be, we're not going to have everybody back. So we would like to explore the possibility of setting up different sites where people can gather, watch the service, and yet to do community together. All right, now, we are still only at an infancy, looking at places, stages, and all of that. All right, but I want to say this, okay? If you are someone that's watching us and you are not in Klang Valley or whatever, just tell us where you're watching from. I will receive texts from people in Johor. I'll receive texts from people from Malacca. I'll receive texts from people and say, you know, we are, Pastor, you know, we kind of follow you all. And I wonder what can we do. But if I were to know there's, oh, he's watching here, and then maybe there's a possibility they can watch together, right? And trust God that God will lead us in that journey. Okay, so if I were to look at Klang Valley, I want to show you this little map. Okay, now, this is where we are right now, which means that we're in Cyberjaya, we're in Puchong, we are in PJ, we're in Kota Damansara, we are also in Gateway. This is where we are. Now, in our wildest dream, all right? If these are some of the possible sides that we are believing God, that God will open door for us, okay? Which means that we're looking at Mount Kiara, Bandar Rimbayu, which is a new township. I was talking to a businessman who tells me about the four biggest developer, Rimbayu, which is next to the newer, you know, next to Kota Kemuning, but massive project, one of the very well planned township, according to this particular businessman. We're believing God. That is something we're able to do. Setia Alam, which is another new township, I wouldn't say new, but a lot of younger families are moving over there. Sri Petaling was, I'll tell you a little bit more when the day comes. Cheras is something that we are brewing right now. Kajang, you know, Kajang was towards here. I think that's where Kajang is. Setapa is where Ta College, and I know there's many Chinese speaking, which is why we need a good Chinese service, so that we're able to take that forward. And Sungai Buloh was over here. Sungai Buloh was a place where, in my past discovering God, I got Eddie, I got Ching Hui, who got saved. They were all from Sungai Buloh. And I, on and off, I found people from Sungai Buloh, and Eddie and Ching Hui is telling me that, Pastor, you know, there's this particular township where this, all the young families are just coming in, you know. So I'm just saying that as I wrestle with Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, for the word of God spread for many disciples to grow rapidly and people obedient to faith, that is the picture I want to believe God for. Come on, okay, good amen. And I'm coming to the church and says that, you know what, just in our wildest dream, how are we going to take that step among us, among you, men and women that will rise up? So last Saturday night, I was doing the prayer meet, and I know I gave a bad example to Jason. Jason, last week overtime, I said, you know, Jason, try to manage it, okay? So here am I managing the overtime, okay? And last prayer meet, I was just sharing about in Georgetown. We're going to start a church. We're going to do a church plant. Pastor Jonathan, together with, you know, Kareen and Nick, some of the people, the couples that went there. And the moment I mentioned that, I came down from the stage. A text came in. Pastor, one of the businessmen, Pastor, I actually have a shop lot there. Please, by all means, use the shop lot for a church plant. I'm looking at the church, every one of you, and ask yourself this question: what role can I play? Maybe you're a property guy, you can help us to link that dot together. Maybe you have some investment that you can help us to kind of make sense of that. Maybe you have some families and friends, I do not know. But I just want to put it out there as we pray and believe God that God will lead us, so that Acts chapter 6 verse 7 doesn't just remain in the Bible, but Acts chapter 6 verse 7 is part of, we get to live it out. And when we get to be bold and believe God for just the another chapter of every nation as a church. Can I get a good amen? All right, just about five of you are, okay? I want to end with a simple prayer, okay? You know, when Acts chapter 4, when they were being threatened, none of us are being threatened, okay? But I want us to say this in this prayer. It says, Lord, look upon, for me, it's Lord, look upon our opportunity and grant to your servant to continue to speak your word with all boldness. I want to ask God for boldness. I want you to ask God for boldness. And then I want to ask God that God will stretch out his hand, perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? All right, why don't you stand as we bring all this to a close, okay? So, I want to believe God that we are able to move to the Chinese-speaking community when I read about this verse. And I'm looking at many of you. Next week in Chinese community, we have one of our radio DJ that's part of our church, one of the radio hosts. He's going to be a host here, all right? And I'm so excited. He was supposed to be here today, but he felt not ready, you know. And then, so we're going to make changes. You know, when I was looking for Among Us, it was people like Eunice and all the singers. Now they're going to sing Chinese song. 你问我 oh, okay, never mind. Okay. 不要问我问他, okay? So we're going to have all of that, all right? Because Among Us, people are going to stand up and say, you know what, Pastor, I will do this, I will do that, I will... Then we're going to take it beyond KL. If there's a way to do a watch together in some of this location and you know a place, you know a cafe, then we are willing to explore. As we just believe God, that the word of God will spread. So let's pray. God, I come before you. God, this verse says that you will grant us boldness. So I pray, oh God, Lord, Acts chapter 4, that God, you look upon the opportunity. Lord, just the numbers of people that just getting saved by the day, by the week, by the month, almost every 1 or 2 weeks, God, I had the opportunity to see another person get saved, another couple get saved, another marriages heal, another, Lord, help us to translate all of that, to be able to spread the word of God to Klang Valley, and help us to be strategic. So grant us boldness, grant us vision, grant men and women that among us that will step up and do the work of God. So we come humbly before you. We pray in Jesus' name as we lift this up. We want to end Unstoppable first episode with a dream, with a desire. And pray, oh God, even as Kuching, they are doing their watch together with us, Lord, that you will bless them. Julius and the entire team there, Lord, and I pray for the hand of God to be strong and mighty upon them. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.